Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most know the universal symbol for poison. It's the skull and crossbones. Of course, some have tried to change this because of fear of misinterpretation. Skull and crossbones can also be a sign for what? Pirates. And so you can see how some might have concern that children might easily be attracted to such a symbol. And so they've tried other symbols for poison, like a green face sticking out a tongue. However, the skull and crossbones are what stick. Some symbols you see are so potent that they're just plain hard to change. One of those symbols or those things that we see in Scripture, John 3:16, is a standard verse many know. It's one of those things as a pastor to know. People probably know two Bible verses, if anything. They're going to know John 3:16, and then they'll probably know the shortest Bible verse, which is Jesus wept. So Jesus wept is law. John 3:16, thankfully, is gospel. What is clear about this is what many have tried to label John 3:16 to be, which is a gospel in a nutshell. When you crack that nut open, there's some unique words we find. Words that we hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, is how closely we have to remember that Jesus ties what he says to a symbol that stuck out in the Old Testament. Those words aren't just words, but they actually had a visible meaning. He told Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." One of the best parts of Lent is how the whole church, no matter if it's big churches, small churches, indeed different church bodies, the whole church must gather to the same symbol in Lent. God sets this standard in the sacrifice of his son, doesn't he? The cross of Christ, you could say, steals the show. What was once a universal symbol for death has now become a universal symbol for life. There is only one Savior of sinners, and he alone, as he said, is alone the way, the truth, and the life. And alone, only people can come to the Father through him. And so the ultimate grace God gives is the cure kept safe in his son. God lifts up the cure, you see, because no one else can conjure up such a thing in a cursed world. Humanity simply deals with one sickness after another. Even in a scientific age, we've been in it for a while, but even still, you get one sickness and guess what? You get something different. And we find out you make one law, and then there's other laws to outdo that law, right? It just keeps going around and around and around. And you win one battle, only you find out you have to fight a whole different war with a whole other kind of enemy. The poison of sin runs through the bloodstream of all people, all cultures, and all generations. Yet God has better plans for those cursed without a cure. The Father gave his Son to the world, for only in him could the cure ever come to be. Unlike a bronze serpent lifted up, Jesus, by willing obedience, had to offer himself up to the cross, didn't he? A bronze serpent Moses just fashioned and put there, but Christ literally had to put himself there in our place. The remedy flows out generously from the uplifted Son of God. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. Since Jesus is not under the curse of sin, he tells Nicodemus and the entire world, day in and day out, he tells us all, "I am the cure." Better than hearing the doctor tell you, "Take two of these and call me in the morning." Better than listening and saying, take these pills, but oh yeah, you're going to also have these problems that come with it. What pours out of Christ's sacrifice is every blessing of life and salvation in His name. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the what? The gift of God. And we have to especially say for us as Americans, faith is not a choice. If it's a choice, then you'd be giving yourself a gift. And that's not the way it works. Faith is a gift because the truth of God shines into us to see what Christ already chooses to do for sinners. The cure lifted up is for all to receive this gift against the devil's venom. His poison is deadlier than most give credit. It festers within sinful hearts. It eats at relationships and it affects every part of life. This is what we find with Moses in the wilderness, right? They complained, God sent serpents, and they all died. And worst of all is when they said to Moses, help us, and ask God to take away the serpents. Did the serpents go away? No, God sent a cure, but the serpents were still there, biting them, but they still had life, but they had to look. That's it. The serpents were still standing in their lives. You see, sinners can even deny or despise the cure God gives. We wonder why people don't come to Christ. It's because either pride says, I'm not that bad. And so as Americans, we isolate things, don't we? Oh, well, you know, I do these things, but everything else is good. Yeah, you're poison. My wife has a fish tank. She enjoys it quite a bit. I can't touch it because I do plants. She does animals. And the uniqueness of this is that in the fish tank, you have a very special ecosystem, right? So you got to change the water, check the pH, make sure all the CO2 and all these things are going along. The unique part about that is all that work can be spoiled in an instant, right? One drop of poison could do what? Kill all her fish, and then I'd be in big trouble. So the point of it is very simple. As Americans, you cannot isolate the poison. You cannot put it in a corner. It infects us through and through. Luther tells us, it is expressly stated here that Christ came and removed the sin of the world so completely that it's entirely deleted and entirely forgiven. But to refuse the helper, to refuse to hear the man who abolished sin, and more than this, to want to kill him and to continue in sin. It is terrible to hear this proclamation, which brings remission of sin and release from death, slandered as heresy, meaning evil, and to see this helper, Jesus, persecuted. Whatever we sense of guilt, disgrace, and sin as it comes to us day in and day out in big ways and small ways, it will burn. It will burn like the poison it is. Let us not blame the cure as if God can do better, as if God does not care about the suffering. Everything of our curse, everything of this poison has fallen upon the crucified Jesus. The father of all lies, the murderous serpent Satan, seeks to twist another tree, doesn't he? First it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that was just a bad maneuver that poisoned everything. And now he wished to twist the tree of the cross, as if that's not a life-giving tree. A tree where Christ is the sacrifice for many. To hide from Jesus' suffering and death for my life is to miss what he said. God did not come into the world, send his son into the world to what? To condemn it. But in order that the world might be saved through him. You're part of that world. Part of that saving God has made complete and perfect in his son. You see, I always think about this text in relation to going to the doctor. Sometimes going to the doctor's, the cure of what he wants to do may be quite I'll just live with my sickness, right? I don't want to do what you're recommending, doctor. But this is not the case of Jesus. As much as the law does condemn, as shameful as sin may be, public or private, or as troubled as a conscience can feel, that cannot give up that burden, Christ by his cross reigns over the devil's lives. Such a cure, you see, effectively works to silence death with life. This is the life Israel received by looking up to the bronze serpent, trusting the Lord's words against what threatened them. This is the life Jesus proclaimed to Nicodemus at the dead of night in our text today, but turned out to be later a fiery trial of his cross for all to see right in the mid of day, right? And this is the life where now water and bread and wine lift up Christ to be for any by the promise of his word. The effectiveness of the cure remains thankfully on Christ lifted up. You can't always take your temperature, and you can't always kind of look at yourself and say, well, is it all that better? It might not be, but you have the cure, and so God's at work. It's troubling to our works, isn't it? And trivial to our ways. That's kind of a cure. Believe in Jesus, that's it. But God works for all to believe that in Christ we do not perish. It seems foolish to the world and a stumbling block to Jews, but what? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Rather than the skull and crossbones marking life, we have a better promise come out of baptism. It's the mark of the cross, isn't it, upon the baptismal font. The mark upon your forehead and upon your heart to be one redeemed by Christ the crucified. He declares by his sacrifice the poison of sin that infected you this week, not like long ago, but like last week or even today. He declares it forgiven. The risen Lord lifts us up from the sorrows over death. It's always around us. We know how to isolate it pretty well in our culture, right? Put it in the hospital, kind of just, oh, yep, well, someone's passing away or someone passed away, and we kind of move on. But by conquering the cross, Jesus proves who holds the keys of life for all to believe in his name. And the ascended Jesus lifts us up from the darkness that we see. What remains of the cross is the church's glory of love in this world. Love, as St. Paul said, for we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the kind of walking that Stephen did, right? It didn't feel good at all when he was being stoned, but he could look up to the risen and glorified Christ and knew the victory was his. And his life became a witness for them to see Jesus. The ultimate grace God gives is the cure kept safe in his Son. Since the greater gift of life cannot fail and it must stand, the lesser gifts of God's mercy daily only become grace upon grace. And here's what that means. We make a bad mistake today. We can't take the good things, but not the best thing first, right? So the good things would be kind of like, what am I going to get for today or for my lifetime? Or how am I going to live? Or what's going to happen? We're all down here. When God says, no, first start up here. The best thing is to believe in Jesus and the promise of his victory that has indeed washed away and given everything so that you go from here and then now you can live down here and look at your daily bread with thanksgiving for all the days God sees fit to give out of love that we might have eternally life forever in his name. Cures, as you know, are hard to come by, right? But Christ is unwilling to hide what he gives for you. Cures can be costly, and what we find out in our country is it's going to add up pretty quick. But Christ has paid the full price for you without your help. Cures do cause some discomfort, but Christ carries the weight by his cross as you follow him in your life. Lent leads the whole church to what God lifts up for sinners everywhere. Some symbols are potent. They stick out like the bronze serpent on a pole, right? You just couldn't miss it. But Christ is more than a symbol. He is the Son of God, the sacrifice sent by the Father. He is the cure that indeed speaks forgiveness to repentant sinners still in this world today. He is the cure that washes any clean to be his saints. He is the cure that feeds weary bodies and souls with his life to eat and to drink. He is the cure that no one can live without. And God lifts him up out of love. He does this in your life, through your life, that people might see Jesus. Not your greatness, not your sin, but Jesus. But more than through your life, today, God lifts up his Son for you. Amen.